Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
Radio, it's time to play some interviews for you people. I did some interviews this past week, and I thought it's about time I shared them with you. So, without later ado, we have tonight on the show, actress. You might remember her from such shows as Step by Step, The Bay, Days of Our Lives, and she's been doing an internet show called Acting Dead, which has recently gained her a Primetime Emmy nomination, and those Primetime Emmys are coming up next week. And I think it's either the 11th we'll be finding out if Patrika wins, so it'll be pretty cool. We also have Mr. Gary Spivak, who is the man behind such rock festivals as Rock on the Range, Rock Allegiance, which is coming here to the Philadelphia area September 17th and 18th. And it's got such people on that show as Avenged Sevenfold, Alice in Chains, Slayer, Volbeat, The Cult, Ghost, Killswitch Engage, Anthrax, and tons more. It's a two-day festival. They expanded it because it was such a success last year with 2 days. So we'll be talking with Gary. And then also, we got from the band Shallow Side, lead singer, Mr. Eric Boatwright. So let's start off the show. Here we go. Miss Patrika Darba. Is this Patrika Darba?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
I'm getting over a little cold.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Just when you thought it was supposed to go back into the water, right?
Yeah, right? So, all right, actually, you know, I mean, you've had a long career, TV, movies and all. I was wondering, like, what of your roles do you think you get asked about the most?
You mean at which jobs I've done that they ask about?
Yes.
That would probably be In the Line of Fire, where John Malkovich kills me. Seinfeld is always a very popular one, and I did two of them. And Roseanne. So those are kind of the couples that I get asked about most.
When you did the Seinfeld ones, did you think, I mean, that was like early on in the whole Seinfeld world. Did you think it would become this iconic show that it became?
No, not really. I don't think anybody realized that it was going to be as fantastic as it turned out to be. In fact, I did that show just before I did the pilot for Step by Step. So it was interesting
okay.
How things turn out. Yes.
That's wild. Now, you've also done voice acting, too, like, and it's weird, like, I know growing up, like, I never really put, like, much thought into voice acting or voice actors, and it seems nowadays, like, voice actors get so much credit, finally, and are finally recognized. Are you noticing the same thing?
Well, I think that now that so many of the cartoons or the films are being done and they're casting a lot of stars, major stars, and then a lot of the voiceover actors who've been around forever are getting to fill in around it. But because the films are becoming so popular with the big names in there, these other actors are getting to work a lot more, and it's coming to the forefront, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I guess, also, too, for me, like I have two daughters, and they're both very much into you know, cartoons and animation and anime and all, and they're always talking to me and showing me about voice actors, and I'm like, I never would have put voice, like a face to voice actors until now. You know what I mean?
It's amazing. One of my very good friends is the voice of Porky Pig, who is, you know,
oh, okay.
So you don't ever think about it when you look at him, but then he's like, that's all. And you're like, oh my gosh. And, you know, another one is Pearl the Whale from, you know, SpongeBob. So it's amazing because it is a whole new venue of acting. And it truly is acting because they are just reading a script and making it come to life before the animation has come to life. So it's terrific. And generally, you're all by yourself.
Right. Do you think having a background in actual acting helped with voice acting, or do you think it wouldn't really matter?
Well, I think I definitely think you need to be an actor because you're still going to have to make those words come alive. And I think in a lot of cases, having improv and different kind of techniques and stuff, because again, you're in a room by yourself, just reading the piece of paper and making the action, they'll kind of tell you, he's being chased here, so you need to be running a little bit. You know, so it's a whole, it's crazy. So
it sounds like it's actually tougher than actual, like, on-screen acting with something.
I mean, you really, I give them kudos because it's amazing to do, when you do that full time for a living. Yes, absolutely.
Now, also too, like one of your big roles has been the soap opera Days of Our Lives. I'm sure people constantly talk to you about that one.
Yes, that too. I mean, I should have mentioned that right up front. But yes, I just went back and did several episodes that it won't start airing until November. But I've been off the show for a while. But they keep asking me back for a little vignette here, a little vignette there. So it's family, and it was such a great opportunity for me. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's great. That's great.
But that's also tough work. That's shooting a movie script a day. So that's a lot of memorizing and very fast, very fast.
Yeah, that's another one too. Like I don't think like soap actors really get the respect they deserve because you guys are working the hardest.
It was some of the hardest work I've ever done. When you, like I said, you shoot a movie script and what generally they take 3 to 6 months or prime time would take two weeks to 10 days to shoot. They shoot in one day. So it's very fast. And sometimes you don't get a chance to do your best because they're shooting so fast. So it makes it very difficult. You really need to know your lines and get in there. And it's some of the hardest work I've ever done. I have great respect for my peers there.
That's great. Now, you've actually you've been nominated for a Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Actress on Acting Dead.
Yes, I was nominated in 2000 for a Daytime Emmy, and now I've been nominated in 2016 for a Primetime. So I'm very fortunate because those nominations come from your peers.
Right. Now this, I mean, with this one, it's really got to mean probably even more because it's an internet show. It's not even on TV.
No, it's right. And it's, you know, it's only like if the episodes are 15 minutes or less, it's the first time this category has been introduced to the Academy. So it's going to be interesting and it's quite thrilling to be a part of something that's brand new and to be from an internet show.
Now, did you think, like, going into this, like, nobody's going to see it. It's on the internet. Or there's going to be no recognition out of this. And then all of a sudden you're being nominated now for a Primetime Emmy.
It's kind of thrilling and shocking at the same time. But I think like most actors, we enter into it just to, you know, because it's a job and we're going to do the best. It's like we have this job, so we need to do a good job because we're looking for the next job. So I think most of us that go into it just go into it to do a good job and hope that it leads to something else. And in this case, it's led to something wonderful.
Yeah, it's funny. As I was going through and researching, and then I was going through and watching some of the episodes of the Acting Dead show, And then I put two and two together once I saw Carolyn Hennessy, because she's been on our show a few times. And she was, I think it was like right when she first part on there, she was so excited and happy to be part of it, because she was saying a lot of her friends from daytime TV are doing it, and she was just so happy about it.
This was such a labor of love, and, you know, we were the only indie nominated. In other words, we sort of like turned in bottle tops and bottles and cans and everything to make this, because nobody got paid. Everybody worked deferred, and it just was a labor of love. Brian B. Kaku wrote and starred and, you know, created it, and made it a wonderful atmosphere to work in with Paul Nigro and Susan Bernhardt as our producers. And then, like, Carolyn was in it. Eric Martsoff was in it. Lori Allen. So many people were in this that just gave their time to be part of it. It was wonderful.
That's awesome. Now, do you think with this whole new medium of, online shows, do you think that's going to, like, really be the future of where we're going to see more things like this, whether it's, like you said, 15 minutes or less, or full series?
I think so. I mean, considering, like, one of the ladies, I think it's Michelle Ang, who's one of my competition, she's in a 15-minute or less Fear the Walking Dead. So when you have big things like AMC that are doing shows, and then they're doing these little 15-minute vignettes on the side, you could see where it's going. It's fortunate and unfortunate in one way, because when you have the money people behind it, you can do a lot of these things. But these little opportunities through the union and things were given to get young screen makers, new filmmakers, TV makers, an opportunity to get their projects out there, and give them an opportunity to hire professional actors. So it's kind of taking away from offering the young person an opportunity to create something when you have a lot of money people coming in who can buy and pay for anything they want. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword there.
Now, when you go into something like that, too, where you're probably one of the most veteran actors on the set, do you almost take, like, a mentoring role with the other actors as well?
Well, I think we all do. I mean, in most cases, I mean, I do. I've been a mentor for women in film, for the Screen Actors Guild, SAG-AFTRA. I've been on several committees there where I've mentored young people. I mean, I don't think it's our duty, but it's an opportunity for us to grow as well when we're mentoring, because we learn new things. Like, I can't work my phone half the time because it's a smartphone and it's smarter than I am sometimes. So, they mentor me back by going, no, push this button instead of that button, or slide it this way instead of that way. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us all to grow together.
Oh, that's funny. So the series Acting Dead, is it fun? Is there going to be more episodes, or?
Well, that's what we're hoping. I mean, my being nominated is sort of an icing on the cake, and perhaps it'll bring some light to the show, and that we'll get some financing to make our second season, third season, and be like Fear the Walking Dead, get some people in there that will help us promote the show and make the show the second season, third season, and really keep it going.
Right, right. Very nice. And when is the Primetime Emmys?
The Primetime Emmys are September 18th, and the Creative 18th. Emmys, which is where my category falls, is on September 11th.
Okay.
I think it's the 10th and the 11th. Because there's so much television anywhere, the Academy is having to broaden a lot of stuff. So I think there's two creatives this time, the 10th and the 11th. And then it will be rebroadcast on FXX, I believe it is. So, and the prime times will be regularly with Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Wow.
Very, very good. Well,
yep.
I hope you win. I think it's about time.
Thank you very much. I hope so, too. Thank you. Thank you.
And that would just help put this over the top and maybe get that financing in place for everybody.
Well, we hope so. I mean, as you said, you've seen some of the episodes, so you've seen how much talent and how fun it is. So it's just making it go on, and it's sort of tongue-in-cheek and just sort of like craziness of the business. So it would be fun to do some more episodes.
it is a pretty amusing, story to go along with the whole zombie thing.
Yes, it's working right now, baby.
So, where can everybody find you to keep in touch with you and make sure that
everything is Patrika Darbo. So if you Twitter me, it's at Patrika Darbo. If you email me or go on Facebook, it's Patrika Darbo. What else do I have? I was going to say Snapchat, but it's not Snapchat. It's the other thing. See, I can't even work the phone.
Instagram.
There you go. That's what it is. Patrika Darbo.
Yeah, there's like too many of them. It's like hard to keep track, and it's hard to work them all.
Hello. I have to find a child. Excuse me, ma'am. May I talk to your child? I'm not a stalker. Excuse me, little boy. How did I do this? No. Amazing.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world. I want to thank you for taking time out and go get some more rest and get over that cold. And we'll be rooting for you on the 11th.
Thank you so very, very much. Y'all have a great time.
You too, Patrika. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, welcome back to the Jim Radio. Bay Ragney here. Here we go. That was Patrika Darbo. Make sure you check out them Emmys next week. See if she gets that Emmy. And then we can have an Emmy winner on Totally Jim Radio. How about that? Which we've already had, but still. It's always nice to have another one. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. 3 minutes. Got to take a quick commercial break, pay the bills. And on the flip side, Mr. Gary Spivak is coming up. Stay tuned.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back. Told you, 3 minutes, not long. Just a few minutes, few bills, few sponsors. Check them all out. Here we go. The show continues. If you've been to a Rock on the Range festival, you know they're huge. If you've been to Rock Allegiance last year, you know it's getting huge, and they're going to show you that this year by going to 2 days and having the biggest names in the world of hard rock and metal on that show. And this is the man behind it, Mr. Gary Spivak, so check it out.
Hey, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Hello. Bay, what's your name again? Sorry?
Bay, like eBay.
Got it. That's what I thought, first time. That's what I had down here. How are you?
Good, how you doing? You know, as I'm
good,
like,
brother.
I'm looking at, I'm like, oh shit, I did screw up. It was that.
No, this actually works out okay.
You already
okay? Let's do it.
All right. So, you seeing that you've been in the music business for 3 decades, I'm sure you have.
Ouch. If you put it that way, jeez.
Ever think of writing a book to tell these stories?
Well, I have written a book and a foreword for another. The first book I wrote was actually a story about my experience with the band Coldplay, which if you look up my name, it's you can probably Amazon it, Coldplay, Look at the Stars, which could probably sell for 99 cents now. But it was a great book. And the second thing I did, I did a foreword for Rock on the Range. We had our 5th-year anniversary book, and I wrote a foreword to it. But to answer the other part, yeah, if I decide to do a book on the my experiences in the music industry, I'm just going to have to leave the following day because I have way too many skeletons that will be exposed.
Yeah, I guess you would make a lot of enemies doing that, huh?
Yeah, if I'm going to go with brutal honesty, which is the only way I know how.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Well, you go to school, the Colorado School of Journalism. So is that what you wanted to
say? I did. I was and always am, have been quite the creative writer, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to be in some form of creative role in society, and music always, you know, there was a time where I wanted to be a rock critic. I wanted to be Cameron Crowe with Almost Famous, but it just kind of led me, it didn't work out that way, but I stayed with music, and that's what led me to a career in it. I think music kind of picks you. You don't pick it, you know?
So, in other words, you were at the right place at the right time, then?
Well, as the saying goes, you have to be set up to be lucky. So I worked really hard, and there was no silver spoon. There was no nepotism. I have no relatives in this business. So everything I did, I did on my own. But I'm still learning and I'm still growing.
Well, that's good. That's good that you can no matter what, you can never stop learning.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm a true believer in that.
So how did you actually end up getting into the music business?
Well, the story goes, I was a drummer. And I was in a couple bands. One in particular was being looked at by record labels. And I became the spokesperson for that band and that one label, which was IRS Records. The guy said, hey, you'd be really good in promotion. And I was like, promotion? What's that? And in the meantime, the guitar player was pregnant with a kid, and the other one didn't want to do it, so the band broke up, and I got a job in the world of record labels, which was 16 years of it. And then I saw that what really drew me to this business was the live concert experience, and I decided to leave the label world and partner up with a couple people, including Danny Wimmer, to book, curate, and help put on rock festivals around the country, and that's what we're doing.
Nice. Which, you know, one thing I was thinking too, like with the whole rock festival thing, do you think, I mean, it seems like there's really been, an explosion of them over the last couple of years, and you guys are partially or fully responsible for that. Do you think that's going to be like the wave of the future for concert going?
Well, I think if you put a lot of great rock bands together and you go and you put on a competitive price and don't gouge the consumer and give them a great experience, which includes not only the music but secondary entertainment, which is a big deal for us at DWP to have. It's not just Bud Light and churros and corn dogs anymore. We have to have great food, great liquor, great side entertainment, and great music. So do I think it's the future? No, I think it's the present. And I think the festival craze in America has caught on, but the good ones are going to last and the bad ones are going to go away.
Right. Yeah, because I was always like, it's been over in Europe, all these festival type things have been going on. And I would always hear about it, like, oh, man, why doesn't it happen over here? Or you would only have like the one or two here a year. But it seems there's probably, maybe half dozen or more now going on throughout the year.
Oh yeah, no. There's just and in all genres, whether it's country or EDM or rock or alternative, there is a festival every weekend between May and October usually in America now, and multiple ones at that.
Now, do you guys just stick to the hard rock ones, or do you guys venture into the other genres of music?
That's our lane, and that's what we're best at. But no, we're not saying no to anything, including. Singer-songwriter, but our bulk of our existence is rock and hard rock. That is our lane, and that's what we're going to stay true to. But we're not opposed to trying something new.
Cool. Now, I'll tell you what. I was shocked when you guys brought the Rock Allegiance Fest to Philadelphia last year. It totally caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it. What made you guys decide to pick Philly to do one?
Well, Philadelphia, as you know, and its entire region is just a great rock and roll marketplace. It's a wonderful community of people who just like rock and roll. When I say that, it's not metal, it's not punk or alternative or whatever. It's just rock and roll. And not only Philadelphia, but Central PA, which we market to, and the New Jersey area. So the whole area just really felt like, yeah, it was right for a great rock and roll festival. Because there are some good festivals, whether it's Made in America, or the Roots 4th of July picnic, or the MMRBQ, but nothing that's a destination rock and roll music festival. We felt there was a hole in the Philadelphia region, and we wanted to fill it with Rock Allegiance.
Yeah, like I said, I was so shocked because a lot of the bands, when they do come through town, they do skip over Philly, and they'll go out to Central PA, they go out to like Reading, Lancaster, or over to North Jersey, New York, and Philly gets skipped. So that's why I was like really shocked and caught off guard when you guys announced it last year.
Well, that's good. I guess that's a good shocked and surprised, right? I hope, because again, we like to serve the underserved, and we felt that Philadelphia hasn't been served. It's big rock and roll festival, and we hope Rock Allegiance is exactly that.
Absolutely. Well, I guess the bigger surprise was actually when it sold out. I was like, wow, rock is alive in Philly. I was like so happy, and I was like, this is awesome. Finally.
Yeah, that was a truly a nice win for when you think of Philadelphia is just this great kind of family community, working class, gritty. They'll boo their sports teams if they're losing. They're you're honest and true, and that just cries rock and roll to us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, how long does it take like to actually put together one festival? I mean, is it like as soon as like the ones over this year, are you already planning for the one next year? Does it take a full year?
Oh yeah, it's a daily siege. It's a 364 day a year process. We're always trying to raise the bar, and yeah, booking bands and getting the right secondary entertainment and the right staging. It's a full time gig, and it's not for the faint of heart.
What do you think is the hardest part of putting the whole festival together?
Well, clearly getting the right bands and booking the talent and getting the right bands to work together and slotting and stage times and set lengths and getting bands to agree to play under that band or this band to play next to that band. It's very political. It's very delicate. And that is a painstaking process, but in the end, we like to think it's worthwhile.
Wow. So now that's like, I have a background like, I'm a retired professional wrestler, and I also used to promote wrestling shows here in the Philadelphia area. So when I was putting these shows together, I'm putting the matches together, like, it was always I said, you know, you got a totally different way to play that.
It's, you know, it's not incredibly different from doing what you did. It's just, you know, it's also putting some personal taste aside and knowing if a band is going to react in the market, and you're looking at airplay, you're looking at sales, you're looking at what they did last time in the market, and you're looking at all those factors and tied into, you just want good music. So it's, and you want personalities, you want rock stars, you want entertainment value.
Absolutely. Now, also too, with the, you have the craft beer and the gourmet food. Was that the whole idea to mix all this stuff together into the festival?
Yeah, for sure. That again, like I said, it's, you know, if you're just going to put up a couple stages and just offer churros and corn dogs, that doesn't do it anymore. You got to have great music, great food, great drinks, a great atmosphere. You have to have the whole all the eggs in the basket.
Right.
So secondary entertainment is very important to us.
Yeah, and that again, like again, was another shocker. Like looking over it, I was like, wow. Like I mean, this is a full thing. It's not like, all right, let's see a band, take a break, see the next band. I mean, this is like, there's something to do the whole time, it seems.
Yeah. That's the whole point. It is nonstop from the time we hit doors at 11 a.m. to curfew, sometime past midnight. We want to entertain people again for to get their money's worth. They deserve it. If they're going to spend their hard-earned money on our show, we want to make sure they have a great time and that they can return the following year knowing that this is a great experience and just a great moment in their lives.
Nice. Now, are you personally there for, like, all these festivals you put together?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I definitely, you know, I go because I do, you know, I book the talent, so it's important for me to see the bands that were booked, and I also want to see how it reacts and which bands react well, which don't, which sell merch, which don't, so I know in the future which bands we would invite back and which are real and which are didn't quite react the way we had hoped.
Right.
So it's great research for me.
So is it also, too... At the end of the day, like where you're getting to, you're seeing your creativity come together, and it's that sigh of relief as well.
Sometimes it's a miss, but yeah, overall it is magical, and that's what keeps me waking up in the morning to do this and to put on great entertainment for rock fans. Look, they put down their hard-earned money. To attend our shows, we want to make sure that they leave knowing that they had the time of their lives, and so that is a great thrill for me. Something I totally don't take for granted, and never will.
Cool, very cool. Nice.
Yeah,
well, I can't wait. September
17th. Awesome. Yes, sir. I'll be there. Hopefully, you'll be there too. Spread the word, and let's keep waving that rock and roll flag.
Absolutely, Gary. Hey, I want to thank you.
Awesome.
For taking this time out, and thank you for thinking of Philly and bringing us to Philly.
Oh man, anytime. I mean, it's our pleasure, and I know Philly, I know very well. My wife is a mainline girl, and I know they take everything, they take their sports seriously, they take their politics seriously, and they take their music seriously, so we don't, it's a real big deal for us.
Nice. Absolutely. Cool. Well, I'll see you in September, hopefully.
Alright. Yeah, you will. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Bye. All right, later. Bye.
All right, well, there you go. Mr. Gary Spivak from Rock Allegiance. More information and the full lineup, times, tickets, and all the info, go to rockallegiance.com, and you can get your tickets and see how much fun you're going to have for those 2 days. All right, another commercial break. Be back in 3 minutes. And then on the flip side, all you Shallow Side fans, we talk to lead singer Mr. Eric Bowright. Stay tuned.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back to Totally Driven Radio. Bay Ragney here, and here we go. Ready? Mr. Eric Boatwright, the band is Shallow Side. Check it out.
Hello.
Hey. All right.
Hey, buddy.
Cool. All right, So I was reading the band's bio and going through it, man. It sounds like you guys got, like, really screwed over back in the early days.
Yeah, it was a rough start. With any, like, business, you know, starting up is a very, very difficult thing to do. But what made it a little more difficult for us is, like, we literally had no clue what we were doing and how to do it. So
right,
starting off was, like, a really difficult business adventure, but we struggled through and broke through everything and created new boundaries.
Nice. Now I guess, like, when you guys got into this whole thing, like, you probably weren't even, like, expecting, like, the whole business end of it.
No. Yeah, absolutely. Like, when you get into it as a musician, you only think about the music, you know? You really
sure.
just want to play music, write music, and do, like, the music side of it, and you don't even think that there's a huge monster of a business
right.
side of it that you have no clue, and they don't teach you that, you know? No one really teaches you that.
Now, do you think, like, going through, like, that rough start, do you think it it definitely helped you guys and maybe brought the band a lot closer too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We grew, you know, as individuals at that point. We grew together at that point.
Right.
So it was a brotherhood that is undeniable now. We're closer, you know, we're going through that together. And then also we're stronger, you know, personally for going through those things.
Right. It's almost like when I was reading, I was like thinking to myself, like, wow, it's like a Rocky story, like the movie Rocky.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's a Cinderella story, you know. There's a Rocky story, you know, better for just the climb. The climb happened, and then, you know, at one point, like, we were looking around, like, holy shit, man, this thing's really kicking off. We're doing well. You know, things are really
right.
happening. And then we look over, and then the management team is standing right there. That we have a wonderful management team, Thermal Entertainment, and this happened, you know, recently in our career. And they were just like, listen, we want to work with you guys. We see how hard you've worked, and we've known, you know, them for a long time, and we know how hard they work. And
right,
it's a beautiful partnership.
Now, something else too that was like brought up in the bio, and I mean, it pertains to the band, but also, I mean, it pertains to, like, real life, too. I was thinking to myself, like, and it said, hitting rock bottom isn't hard to do when that's where you start, and you aren't expected to grow from it. I mean, that's just such a, like, almost like a motivational type saying, almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it really is. It's part of, you know, who we are as individuals and as a group. That we really kind of stand for is, you know, motivating each other and ourselves to be better daily, you know, as a group and as an individual and for our fan base too. Like it's to be a better person for the people around you. If
right.
you're not doing it for yourself, like do it for the guy that's standing next to you. It don't have to be just for you. You can be better for everyone else too. Like, and that's something that we stand for. And it was a difficult road to start from a deeper bottom than a lot of people, you know, start from. Like, we didn't come from money.
Right.
None of our parents are rich. None of our parents even make, like, you know, really good money. Everyone worked. You know, we come from a really blue-collar family that, you know, we work paycheck to paycheck to make, you know, income.
Right.
So we came from, like, a really, really humbling background, really modest world. So, you know, keeping each other motivated and telling other people that, you know, it doesn't take you being successful to be successful. You don't have to start out successful to be successful. You can take the hard road. And, you know, unfortunately, there is a hard road. But if everything in life was given to you, nothing would have value. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If everything was free
exactly.
in life, then it wouldn't be worth it.
Sure. Sure. Now, something too, like, I mean, you guys do, like, over 200 plus shows a year for the last 5 years. That's a lot of freaking shows, man.
Yeah, they are. We're staying busy. our management team likes it when we stay busy. We like to stay busy, but yeah, 200 plus shows a year. It's been a couple of years. We've did 250 shows. It's not a lot of off time. There's not a lot of home time, but rock and roll is a demanding world.
and we like to be a part of it.
Now, where are you guys from originally?
North Alabama.
Okay. Cool. And how about, like, you mentioned earlier about, like, all your parents and all. Were the parents all supportive in the band and you guys doing this?
Yeah. They, like, with anything in life, parents would think you're crazy. They don't know exactly what you're doing or what you're getting into, but they're standing beside you or behind you, you know, rooting you on, clapping for you in anything that you do in life. And maybe ours was a little more difficult to clap for, because where we're from, music and being in a foreign band is a thing, you know? If you're from, you know, say New York or California or, sometimes maybe even like, you know, Michigan or Ohio, like those are places where you naturally see bands come from, you know, Austin, Texas. You see bands strike up from these areas and being in an entertainment world, like that's a thing, you know, it's a business adventure. Like people know that as a lifestyle. Where we're from,
right,
that's not a lifestyle. No one knows that. No one knows that to be a business adventure. Like, they think you're crazy. But luckily, we had some pretty supportive, you know, friends and family that was around us. And when we took off, we fell on our face, you know, several times, as we talked about. You know, we had a really rough start, but we stuck it out, and we had good people behind us to really push us forward.
Cool. That's awesome. Now you have the new album. I guess is this the first full length album coming out in the fall?
Yeah, it's our debut. The first full length album that we've had. We put out two CDs before. Home Today being our first, and then Stand Up being our second. Those are two EPs, and now we've just released our single from our debut album, Rebel.
Yeah, you know, and I love the little campaign I guess you guys got going on too, but bring the middle finger back to rock and roll for the tune Rebel.
Yes. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I love that.
I think rock and roll definitely needs that again.
Yeah, when we were writing this song, we were listening to a lot of music that was coming out of rock and roll, and we thought that it was just, you know, kind of missing the piss and vinegar, and we had a little bit of piss, and we had a little bit of vinegar, and we like to shoot people birds. It's just a good feeling for everybody, so that's where it came from.
Nice. Yeah, it's a great tune, man, and as a matter of fact, I was checking out the video earlier. And I kept thinking to myself, like, I'm watching it, and there's the part where you're up on the hood of the truck dancing around. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like the hood. I kept watching the hood bend. I'm like, that thing's going to, like, break through.
Yeah, I'm not a small guy either. The hood took a pretty good beat for the dance.
Was it a lot of fun? I guess it seemed like it was a lot of fun doing that video. Like at the end, like the parking lot scene and all, was that like a bunch of friends and fans and all?
Yeah, we had a really good time shooting that. We had a production team come down from Boston, part of the same group that actually recorded the song. So we all had like a really good vision and atmosphere around that. The production group being Red 13 Media and we had so much fun shooting that. It's
cool.
Been the best video that we've shot to date.
Nice. So, all right, so that's out now. Also, too, something that you guys are really pushing for with this video is I saw the whole Loudwire, was it Loudwire.com's Battle Royal they do every week for videos. And you guys are, like, really kicking ass in it from what I saw.
Yeah,
I think you guys are in second place.
We're having
a pretty week.
Yeah, we're having a pretty difficult time. We're struggling with Andy Black or Andrew Biersack from Black Veil Brides. But he also has a massive fan base. So I don't know where we finished out at. I think it's open now. Actually, just woke up. We had a long night last night in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah, how was that? How's the tour going?
It's been great. It's been great. You really can't ask for more to be out in the summertime playing rock and roll music. It's a good feeling.
Now, have you guys come into the Philly area at all, or?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you guys come into the Philadelphia area?
We played Philadelphia before. Well, we haven't been that way in quite a while.
Wow.
Yeah, we need to get back in that area, though.
Absolutely. Cool. Sorry, so when, you know what happened, like a release date of the album?
We don't have a release date for the album yet. We're still getting songs finished from our producers, so everything's in the mix right now. And we're waiting to get a lot of the music back. But I can tell you this, music that we're getting back is incredible.
It's nice.
It feels so good sonically. It's such a good feeling of like new rock and roll that needs to be done.
Nice.
We're on the cusp
of
it. Feels good.
Cool. Is there a title for it yet? Or?
One.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, that's the title of our debut album, One. Someone was asking me, why did you title it One? And really the first number I could think of.
So where can everybody get the single now?
You can get it on Amazon or iTunes, or you can order it straight from our online store at shallowside.net. It's literally available anywhere music is available. So you can stream it on Spotify, Pandora, it's all there.
But everybody should buy it. This way you guys get more money.
Yes, I agree completely.
Cool. All right, man. Well, this has been great. I know you're tired. Go back, get some rest. You got another show to do tonight. And hopefully we'll see you up in Philly soon.
Yes, hopefully we'll be in the Philly area very, very soon. We're looking to put together a headline run in the fall. So
nice.
Hopefully Philly gets one of those dates.
Cool. I hope so. I'll be there.
Awesome, man.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You so
right.
much. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome, man. Take care, man. And go get some.
You too, buddy.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My mama tell it I've been gone too long. To hear them talk about me, say I'm doing wrong. But I've been on my own since 15. Only death in jail before me. Drag my name through mud and I still come out clean. I get faded, I get let loose sometimes. I get wasted, they say I'm gonna my mind. Spend all day long the same old song. Meet my demons down by the crossroads. I get faded and I don't give a fuck if you call me a rebel. Call me a rebel.
My rights, the root to rock and roll is sex, drugs, and rebellion. sit down with whiskey dressed in black from head to toe. No one can stand against me, because we all stand here guilty. Heaven and hell try to save a man without a soul. I get faded, I get let loose sometimes. I get wasted, they say I'm gonna lose my mind. Spend all day long the same old song, beat my demons down by the crossroads. I get faded, and I don't give a fuck if you call me a rebel. Yeah, yeah, call me a rebel, yeah. Maybe I'm not alone.
That was Eric from Shallow Side. We also played their latest single. It's called Rebel. There's a video for that on YouTube. You can check that out. And for more information on the band, go to shallowside.net. And, you know, check them out. Buy their music. Help them out. They can always use the extra help. We all can, actually. So, there you go. Another show in the books. Episode 195. We're closing in on the big 200. This Thursday night, we return live. Myself and Nick and Mr. Jannetty, and alongside us, we'll have the Pitbull himself, Mr. Henry Reif, and we're going to be doing a special tribute to the one and only Evel Knievel and his Snake River Canyon jump. And we're going to have some of Evel's crew hanging out with us and telling stories of Evel and the canyon. So make sure you tune in Thursday night. Until then, stay driven, everybody.